It is a pleasure and an honor to be here today and to share what God has been laying on my heart the last few weeks. And I pray that you receive His Word as much as He has given it to me today. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to use Revelation chapter 21 today. As far as the main text, I'll be sharing other texts. I was taught in seminary that the best illustration on the Bible is the Bible. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So we're going to stick with God's Word today. I'm not going to quote anybody else. So we're going to stay in God's Word today with Him. Today, as I sent Twyla, the title of today's sermon is His Presence, which is just fitting with everything that we've sung already, because that's all that matters. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for the many blessings You give us. We thank You for the many, Father, your presence. And Father, as I begin to share Your Word, Father, I ask that You remove me. Father, speak to me. Speak through me, Father, because it is only Your Word that can change a life. Father, I ask that Your Spirit continues to fall on this place. Father, that You move freely within our hearts. Father, that we may receive every morsel of Your Word today so that we can grow closer to Your presence. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Jimmy, and I will say this, he is my friend, but he's also my pastor. He has been a great pastor for me and Kim over the last few months, and friend. So I want to say that. When he asked me to preach today, my heart leaped. I was excited, nervous, but excited, because I don't mean to be ugly, and I don't mean to down anyone, but I've never preached in such a Spirit-filled church before. Amen? That's awesome. So I may get loud today. I don't mean to, and you might want to cut me off. I don't know, but, you know, I get so excited that God chose someone like me to share His Word, that He's blessed me with His Word. And I can't help but get excited about that. And I get to screaming and yelling and spitting. Good thing there's nobody over here, because I may spit on somebody this morning. Jody, you ain't got to worry about going to sleep today. So. Revelation chapter 21, the reason I began to look at Revelation, I preached through Revelation 21, or through actually the whole book of Revelation, a couple of months ago, probably over the last year. But it's such an exciting book. I've always been afraid of the book of Revelation. Even in seminary, I was afraid of the book of Revelation. I was afraid of reading God's Word. I was afraid of getting into it because I was afraid I wouldn't understand. I was afraid that I had to deal with some difficult texts, which I did. But let me tell you what helped me in my study of Revelation. I looked at it through the eyes of Jesus. And when you read the book of Revelation through the eyes of Jesus, it is a wonderful book. It's an awesome book. Brother Jimmy had asked me to share this text, and a few days later I had to go to a funeral. John 14:6, you can hold your hand there and flip over to John 14:6 if you want to. You don't have to. But we read this at every funeral. Just about every funeral that you go to, somebody is going to quote John 14, verses 1 through 6. And as I was sitting there listening to the preacher preach, as I was sitting there listening to this funeral sermon, I began to listen to the words, and it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." I begin to listen to those words. And I begin to think about the mansions. As I shared with Twyla again, one of my favorite songs is a Southern gospel song called I Bow the Knee. And I can envision going to heaven. I can envision seeing my friends. I can envision seeing the angels and them leading me around heaven and showing me the beauty of heaven. But I also can see me going, you know what, guys, that's great. I just want to see Jesus. That's all I want. I just want to see Jesus. As I looked at that text, and then as I began to look at Revelation chapter 21, if you would flip back over there, I just want to show you the beauty of heaven. I want you to realize the beauty of heaven. If you look in the 19th verse, it says, the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, the fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. Beautiful stones. If you go and look at these stones on the internet, you see how beautiful they are. And you can only imagine what heaven does to these stones, how it multiplies the beauty that we see. We've come through Christmas. And I'm sure that several of you got some presents, right? Got some beautiful things. And as children go, they open one and they tear it open, and man, they look at it and then they go, pfft, and tear up, and they, you know, just keep going. And when they get to the end, they go, is there any more? Is there any more? As Brother Jimmy's been preaching over the last few weeks about more, I couldn't help but this sermon just kept coming into my mind, coming into my heart. More. More of what? You see, I intentionally stopped in John 14, 6 where I did. You see, it's not about the mansions of heaven. It's not about the beauty of heaven. You see, he says, I'll come back to get you. And where you will be, I will be. You see, if you go back to the verse 1 in Revelation 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. You see, in Romans, it tells us that the earth is groaning and laboring for the day that the sons of God will be revealed, that Jesus Christ will come back and make all things new. You see, we're groaning, longing for that day. We're longing that we see Jesus face to face. There's something else neat there. If you look in the last part of that verse, it says also there will be no more sea. There will be no more separation. We'll worship Him together. All types, all people from every nation who believe in Jesus Christ will worship Him together. It says, and then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I don't know about you, gentlemen, those of you who are married. I still remember 29 years ago as I turned and looked to see my wife come down the aisle. And what a beautiful sight that was. Ready to live together forever. Let's not miss that. Let's not miss the point of that. The point of the beauty is that it will be forever. And that we will be with Him forever. You see, Jesus wants the best for us. And as I look at our storms in life, and as I look at the things around life, and how hard life can be, there's one constant in every bit of it, and that's Jesus. And He wants the best for us. Can I tell you, the best is not the jewels. The best is not the streets of gold that look like glass. The best is not the mansions of many rooms. The best is going to be the presence of Jesus Christ. That and that alone in and of itself is all we need. Because if it were not for Him, it's much like our world today. It would mean absolutely nothing. All the stuff of this world means absolutely nothing this side of the presence of Jesus Christ. It says, "And then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Can y'all envision that? I know this is a different church than what I'm used to. Not in a bad way, but in a great way. But do y'all realize the church is not this building? The church is right here. And God is seated on His throne. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He should be on the throne of your life. His presence should be seen in your life. You see, if you look at Exodus chapter 13, if you look at the Exodus of Israel, as you watched them go out, God's presence was with them all the time. In the daytime, God's presence led them. And at night, He gave them light so that they may see. And then when the enemy came in, He got between them and the enemy and provided protection. Y'all, if you want that today, you need more of Him. Because the storms of life are inevitable. Everybody goes through them. Maybe some may look like they come through it better than others. But everybody experiences a storm in life. Sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes on a yearly basis, but everybody experiences a storm. Only Jesus can see you through it. His presence. One of the things that I began to share with Brother Jimmy over the last few months is that there's got to be more. I want more. I want more of Him. I want more of who He is, and I want more of that in me, and I want to be able to share more of Him. You see, you got to pursue Him to get more. You got to be about Him to receive more. And there's nothing greater than His presence. You see, God is with us. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, if you look at our Great Commission, it says, "Go ye therefore, go out into the world, sharing the gospel, presenting the gospel to everyone, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And at the very end, He gives us a promise. He says, "If you do My work, I will always be with you." His presence is always there. You see, most of the time that His presence is not with us is when we walk away from Him, not when He walks away from us, because He never walks away from us. His presence is always near. We just have to cry out. And when we cry out to Him, His presence begins to fill us. And we begin to see His glory. Verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I don't want you to miss something here. I don't want you to miss anything in verse 4. Those are great things. Those are awesome things to know, that there will be no more death, that there will be no more pain, that there will be no more dementia, that there will be no more cancer, that there will be no more death. But it's not about those things, and it's not about those bad things of the world. He says that God will wipe away all those things. His presence will wipe away all those things. Just His presence, not the streets of gold, not the sapphire and the amethyst, not all the jewels, but His presence will wipe away everything that has to do with this world and the enemy in it. Just His presence. So I don't want you to miss that in verse 4. You see, we hold on to those things just like we do. Just like the comfort that we get when we read John 14:6, that comfort that we get that God has prepared a place for us. And it's good comfort, don't get me wrong, because I love it. But what is most comforting is that He's not just going to put me in a place and leave me there. He says, I got this place for you. And if I built it for you, I'm going to come back and get you. And if I'm going to come back and get you, I just as well live with you. Amen. That's what He did in verse 4. He said, my presence wipes away the dirt of this world. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to worry about the things of the world because my presence, just my simple presence, is all you. You see, we need to live in victory today. And the only way to live in victory today is in His presence. That's the only way. Verse 5, it says, Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write these words are truth and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. Don't miss this now. I don't want you to miss this. He said, it's done. He says, I am. Not the streets of gold. Not the mansions. Not the angels. Not your friends. Not your family. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And I will give the foundation, the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Jesus says, I will pour my presence into you if you thirst after me. He says, I am, I am, I am. That means that covers everything from the beginning to the end and anything in between. I am the God of all gods. I am the deliverer. I am the healer. I am the one who is over all things. Regardless of cancer, regardless of finances, regardless of anything, I am. And that's all you need from the beginning to the end. You see, I think today in our churches and even our Christian life, we miss that because we always want more. You know, I there was a sermon before I even stepped up here. I was brought to the feet of Jesus in music. And I'm thinking back there, I just want more. I just want more. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. I just want more. You see, we need to live in that song every day. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord. To live in His presence. It heals the broken heart. It heals the pains of this world. Just His simple presence. Verse 7, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't matter what you don't have. As long as you've got Jesus. That's all you need. That's everything that you need. You see, just like the children of Israel, as they were being led out of Egypt, His presence can be our direction. His presence can be our provision. His presence can be our perfection, our righteousness, our protection. You see, the cross, I wrote these words down this morning. His directions is the cross. His provision is the blood of the cross. And His provision is the one who hung on the cross. His protection is the one who hung on the cross. And every bit of that is about His presence. You know, we think we struggle, we think we fight. Even in human beings, we argue, and we need to remember, as you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you see, we need to learn to fight in the spiritual world and not in the physical world. I know you know this, but can I share this with you? The war is already won. We just have to fight the battles. And we fight the battles because of His presence, not because of anything else. We don't have to struggle alone. We don't have to fight alone. Because if we're about His work, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we're about His work, if we're about doing the things that God wants us to do, it is a spiritual battle. I love the book of Isaiah. And there's a promise in Isaiah that God gave me a few months ago. As I begin to read Ephesians 6, God gave me this promise. And I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's the very first part of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. His presence will not allow anything to overcome you. His presence will give you victory in every fight. In every fight with cancer, in every fight with money, in every fight with your spouse. It doesn't matter where it is. His presence will give you victory. You see, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, which is a simple verse, He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now, belief is not a, it's an action word. You just can't sit on it, as most of us like to do. You got to live it. But why did He say He did that? He said, because He loved me. He loved me so greatly. So if He loved me so greatly, why would He want to leave me alone? He says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Not because of anything I've done. Not because of anything that you've done. But simply because of My presence. That's all. Second Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want to be new? Seek His presence. You see, one of the things over the last few months that I've been praying for and that I think my wife has helped me pray for is compassion. Compassion for others, compassion for the lost mainly. To have His love lived out in me. You see, God had compassion on you. And He had compassion on me. And He sent His Son so that we may live with Him forever. Not because of the jewels, ladies, but because of the one and only Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, His presence is heaven to me. Y'all, we got to live that out every day. We got to live that in our life every day. We got to seek that presence so that we can have heaven every day. If you want victory over anything in your life, you must seek His presence. You must get more of His presence. And He can overcome anything. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, by no means, pass away." That means that Jesus will never pass away. You see, John 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word, and that the Word became flesh so that I could experience His presence. And Jesus told the disciples, He says, "Guys, I've got to go. I've got to go. But I promise you this, I'm going to send my presence and the Holy Spirit to live in you and through you." Do you know Jesus today? Do you know His presence today? Do you hold on to His presence? Has something misguided you from His presence? One of the biggest things that I've learned in my own life, I've been in ministry for 25 years, been a pastor for 7. One of the biggest things that I've learned is that if the devil can distract you, he's got you. Don't be distracted. And if you live in His presence, you won't be. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Father, that You love us. And Father, the more I seek You, the more I feel Your presence. The more I love You, the more my life comes together. Even in the chaos, my life comes together.